The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour, knead it and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared, and he set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And he said, "There, in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the entrance behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age, and had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?' Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? At the set time I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied, saying, "I did not laugh, for she was afraid." He said, "Oh, yes, you did laugh." Please turn the page and we continue reading at chapter 21 and read verses 1 through 7 along with me. The Lord dealt with Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to his son, whom Sarah bore him. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Now Sarah said, "God has brought laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me." And she said, "Who would ever have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age." The holy word of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
You may be seated.
So in the presence of the Holy Spirit, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So Pastor Nate queued up our beginning of this book, our study of the Book of Revelation, beautifully, Book of Genesis, beautifully last week, as he talked about how all of Scripture, especially in Genesis, begins with the theme of being in relationship. And this is how I see the Bible, drawing us into a deeper relationship with God and with one another. And God, our Creator, created us in order to be in relationship with us. God created us to be in relationship. God chooses to love us. God chooses to provide for us. And God chooses to be in relationship with all of God's creation. And because of that choice by God, God encourages us, instructs us to do the same, modeling after what God did. So God instructs us to be in relationship both with God and with one another and to choose love, Even in the hard times, even in the difficult times, to choose to love God and to choose to love our neighbor, including our spouses and our kids and our grandkids and our families, our friends, our strangers, and even our enemies. We choose to be in relationship with one another. And these choices help us to understand our purpose and our direction in our lives. So last week we heard about a couple in the Bible, Adam and Eve. And today we fast forward to another couple, Abraham and Sarah, who were given a promise by God. And this is the first image here. There's Abraham, and he has promised as many descendants as there are stars in the sky. So all those white dots on the screen represent all the children, all the descendants that Abraham is going to have. Now, I don't know about you, but if I heard this promise from God, the first thing that would come to my mind is babies. Lots and lots of babies, right? I mean, you're constantly giving birth, raising them, teething them, changing them, feeding them, constantly growing them to be who God's created them to be, forgiving them, loving them, teaching them in and out of the house. I mean, I can't imagine babies, as many as there are stars in the sky. But actually, God's promise looked like this. Waiting. 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 And waiting turned into wondering. And wondering turned into sadness. And sadness turned into a deep resignation that God's promise was just not coming true. Because at the age of 99 years old, they still had not even conceived one. Not even one. Now, for those of you who have had infertility issues or know of people in your family system who have experienced this, you know the pain of this story in Genesis. The sorrow, the brokenness that accompanies this reality. Out of 100 couples in the United States, 12 to 13 of them have trouble becoming pregnant. About 10 out of 100, 6.1 million women in the U.S., ages 15 to 44, report that they have difficulty becoming pregnant or staying pregnant, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. We have over 100 people right now in this worship service. Some of you have been affected by this story. And the pain and the shame and the blame that goes along with not being able to conceive your own child is unbearable, and it has happened throughout all generations. For Abraham and Sarah, of course, those of you who know the story know that they resorted to all kinds of different schemes to try to get around God's promise. Abraham had other wives who bore children. He adopted children as part of the household, but we know that this just brought more chaos into Abraham and Sarah's family system. It brought more pain, and it brought more broken relationships. Their marriage had to be tested by this, and it had to be frayed. They would have gone through the mix of emotions, as I have with many, many, many couples over my years here of ministry. The many emotions between one another and the many mixed emotions towards God. Like, what are you up to, God? Where are you? And specifically for Abraham, why is your promise not coming true? And I would think that they had all but given up at this point, 99 years old. And then these three messengers come to their land and greet them. And for some reason, Abraham decides to give them extravagant hospitality, as Kevin read for us. A bunch of bread, the fatted calf, and water to drink and also wash their feet as they rested under the shade of a tree. And they remind both Abraham and Sarah, who was listening in the tent, of God's promise given to them in chapter 17. And even at their old age, they say God's promise is going to come true. It leaves Abraham speechless. We don't hear him speak again in this chapter. And it causes Sarah to laugh. That kind of nervous energy laugh. I'm sure, like Kevin was saying, if his grandma was going to be pregnant, we would all like laugh out of a nervous energy, out of an unimaginable reality. And God's promise indeed came true. The promise revealed to Abraham and Sarah through these messengers from the Lord challenged their notion of giving up when it came to having a child of their own, and replaced it with a new prospect, a new vision, a new dream of what God could be up to. That God's promises and God's future could be different from what we imagine it to be. The power of God's promise coming true that generates a preferred future beyond our imaginations. The power of God's promise. God's vision wasn't for Abraham and Sarah to have multiple births, but that Abraham and Sarah would extend family to an understanding that it would include people like you and me. A dream that there's no way Abraham and Sarah could fathom, even at that point in their lives. But many lives are changed because of what happened that day, that encounter with the Holy. Obviously, Sarah and Abraham's lives totally changed. They got pregnant and gave birth to a son, Isaac. But like I said, we came to understand that God's promise was more fully revealed in that song that we sang with the kids just a minute ago. That after the flood, God was doing a new thing. That God's family was starting to get organized, and Father Abraham was going to have many sons and daughters. That includes you and me. It doesn't mean family by blood, like we often imagine it to be, but it is family by choice. It is family connected to God. And that is our primary identity, our primary role to play. And it goes back to being in relationship. We are called to love all because of what God has done for us. And he proves his love for us through God's own Son, Jesus, who was born and baptized, who lived, who died, and rose again, so that we would know exactly who we are as God's beloved children and as God's family. A vision that God had beyond what Abraham and Sarah could envision it to be. The other change in this is that Abraham and Sarah's relationship was restored. Now, it doesn't say that in Scripture, but I can now imagine it happening after walking with people with infertility issues. Abraham and Sarah chose to love one another through it all. It was not easy. They didn't give up. They made mistakes along the way, but they chose love because they were surrounding themselves with God's love for them. And today, families divorce and separate or live with resentment by not being able to have children because they can't find a way to see God's promise through a different lens. It's not easy, but it is a challenge for all of us who are feeling like God's promises are not coming true for us in a way that we expect them to see how God sees, instead of just be limited by how we see or understand God's promises. God blesses them with new life through a baby and with new life through a restored relationship. And we are also blessed with an understanding of a new family system, learning to trust God's promises, to trust God's power in God's promises. And that's exactly how God finds us today. God has sought you out, brought you to this place as God's beloved family, and God blesses you with promises today and surrounds you with God's love. Some of you may be gathered here today with relationships that are struggling, with marriages that are frayed, with deep hurts and sorrows. Maybe even a resignation of God's promises not coming true. And some of you just come for some hope, some healing, some renewal for you or for a loved one, looking to be restored. And regardless of how we feel, God finds us just where we are along life's journey and invites us forward to offer us a taste of the promise of God and the sacrament of Holy Communion. God breaks bread to replace our brokenness. And God offers us wine to cleanse us inside and out, to bring healing and restoration. And it includes the promises found in the words of Scripture, the forgiveness of our sins and eternal life. Even in Holy Communion, it's hard to imagine what God wants and dreams for us in this little wafer and this little juice. But God's vision is beyond our vision. God's dream is bigger than our dream. And God wants us to trust that in this small meal, it brings these promises to life from God. Come and receive new life today. Come and receive God's restoration. Come and receive and be restored through Christ, who promises to redeem, renew, and restore us and all creation as God's beloved family. May it be so. In Jesus' name. We stand together and sing our song of the day, Be Still With My Soul.
Be still, my soul, the Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain, leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, a faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend. Through thorny ways, leads to a joyful end. My soul, thy God doth undertake to guide the future as he has the past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul, the waves and winds still know his voice who ruled them while he dwelt below. In you I rest, in you I found my hope, in you I trust, you never let me go. I place my life within your hands alone. Be still, my soul, be still, my soul, the hour is hastening on, when we shall be forever with the Lord. When disappointment, grief, and fear are gone, I'm
our hearts and minds now to the power of prayer. Let's pray together. God, help us to put our trust in your promises, the power of your word, that it may come true in our lives. Help us to dream bigger and farther and with a new lens, your lens, so that we may see your word and grow deeper into it, trusting you with our very lives. We especially lift up those couples who are dealing with infertility, Lord. May you bless them, strengthen them, and hold them. Lord, in your mercy. God, we thank you for the many ways that you bless us. We are grateful for them.